So I was thinking about that that children's sermon, and I think Salisa would say that our children are only thirsty when they see us with drinks in our hands, and then suddenly they become thirsty. I think, you know, the same can be said, you know, about our spiritual lives or thirsting after God, that our kids will become thirstier if they see us thirsting after God. So our scripture passage this morning is coming from Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 3, just a short passage. And it says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being a God who reaches out to us, a God who quenches our thirst. We thank you for being a God who teaches us, who desires to be in relationship with us. We thank you that you are not a distant God, but that you are present. We pray that you would be present with us here this morning, that you would be opening our hearts and minds to learn more about you. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. If you remember, we are in the middle of a 9-week series called Intimate, Radical, Inexplicable, Ordinary. Four words to describe this series. It's a series about being a good neighbor. It's a series about loving other people. It's a series about loving Jesus and leading other people to Jesus. And this passage that we're looking at today is a very short passage, just 3 verses. But I decided that we're going to split it into 2 weeks. In fact, I decided that last night. Salisa was laying in bed, and I came in and I said, "Hey, I think I'm going to go a different direction with my sermon." And she said, oh gosh. And so this is really not something that I've ever done before. I usually know exactly what I'm going to talk about. I usually know, weeks ahead of time what I'm going to, a general idea what I'm going to talk about, how I'm going to preach. And so this is going to be a little bit different today. But that's okay. So we're going to spend the next 2 weeks looking at these first 3 verses from Hebrews chapter 13. And today we're primarily just going to be looking at that verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And so we're going to spend the next 2 weeks looking at this passage. Today and next week, diving into what does it look like to show love to strangers. We've talked about, stepping out of our boats, connecting hospitality with missions. We've talked about loving and showing hospitality to our neighbors. And now we're talking about showing hospitality and showing love to strangers. And there's overlap here. Last week I said that part of the goal of this hospitality thing is turning strangers into neighbors in order to love them. And so I'm hoping that you're seeing some of the overlap here. I hope that you're seeing that this is, that we're building upon things. And so as we're diving into this, some of this hopefully will remind you about what we talked about last week. And hopefully that will move on and on. And so today, I'm going to tell you guys a story. I'm going to tell you the story about my friend, Ben. My friendship with Ben happened during a period of my life that I don't really talk about very much. It's the period of my life before Jesus. It was a very bad time, a difficult, a dark time, a time of self-destruction. I hated myself. I hated the world. I hated everybody and everything. And when you live in a life like that, it really becomes easy to do things that are destructive to yourself and to other people. And that is the life that I led before coming to know Christ. And so Ben happened kind of towards the end of that period of my life. I honestly don't remember how Ben and I started hanging out. I don't remember the events that led up to us spending time together. I don't remember a lot about those years. Maybe it's a good thing that I don't. I oftentimes wish that I did, but I don't. And so I started hanging out with Ben. And Ben and I went to high school together. He was 1 year older than me. But we never hung out while we were in high school. I'm sure we had some of the same friends. But Ben was this hippie kid. Everybody loved him. Your stereotypical high school stoner. And I was this kid desperately trying to be a punk rock, angry at the world kid. So we ran in these different circles. But Ben and I found each other at a time in our lives where we were both escaping. We were running from our lives. We had both decided that we wanted to remove drugs from our lives. Somehow, I don't remember how, we found each other and we started hanging out with each other almost every single day. We hung out in his grandfather's living room. Ben had lost most of his family, either through death or really just hard feelings because of his lifestyle choices. And really the only person he had left in his life was his grandfather. And his grandfather and he didn't, I don't think they ever talked. I don't know if they really shared. Well, I'm sure they talked, but I mean, they didn't have discussions. And it was almost like these two ghosts living in the same house together. And so Ben and I would hang out in the living room of his grandfather's house, and we'd drink instant coffee at 2 o'clock in the morning, randomly decide to go out and pick blueberries. We tried to do things like smoke his grandfather's tobacco pipe and all these random things. Sometimes we would just sit there in silence for hours. And, Ben, his struggle was a little bit more challenging than mine. The drugs that had become part of Ben's life were a lot harder than the drugs that had become part of my life, and he struggled. He struggled a lot. And he taught me a lot. He taught me what it meant. I relearned how to be a friend through Ben. I relearned how to love myself, or what it looked like to love myself. And I learned how to begin to show hospitality to somebody that I didn't know, even if I had absolutely nothing to offer them. And so Ben and I spent almost a year together hanging out every single night, really doing meaningless things, but just spending time together. And then Ben met a girl and decided he was going to hit the road, and they traveled to another music festival. So I was saying that I never had a friend like Ben. I don't think I'll ever have a friend like Ben again. Ben, ultimately, he passed away a few years after our friendship from a drug overdose. At times crave the relationship that I had with Ben, the freedom that I had with Ben, the sometimes just the simple presence of being together, that simple and easy friendship that I doubt I'll really ever have again. And I crave that. And really, us as human beings, we crave and we desire relationship, sometimes in very different ways. But it's a universal truth that on some level, every single one of us craves relationship. We desire to be in relationship with someone. And relationship, it's really perfectly defined by the Trinity, by God, three in one, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, existing in relationship with one another. That they exist perfectly in relationship with one another. And at creation, we were invited to join into this relationship. And that's what relationship is supposed to look like, is this perfect relationship with God. But as we know, we don't live in perfect relationship with God. Really, since the fall, our world has been marked with broken and hollow and inappropriate relationships with people around us. The relationships in our culture are constantly defined as being messed up. And our relationship with God is messed up. And we know that our only hope as Christians, our only hope of finding this perfect and pure relationship again is through the work and the power of Jesus Christ and placing our faith in him. That through him alone can we have relationship with God. And really through him alone can our relationships here in a human sense be healthy and good, that we learn how to do those things through relationship with God. You see, sin makes us strangers to God. Sin makes us strangers to God. It separates us from God. God is holy. Everything about God is good. God is set apart. And so God cannot be associated with anything that is not good or holy. And so when our lives become anything less than good or holy, when our lives become full of sin, even if it's just a little, it completely and totally separates us from God. And so really this scriptural mandate for Christians to love strangers, to invite strangers into our lives, to build relationships with strangers, is deeply rooted in the fact that all of us know exactly what it is like to be a stranger to God. That each and every one of us knows what it's like to have the relationship between God and ourselves be broken, unhealthy, and ultimately we live estranged from God and our sin. And so this idea of inviting strangers into our lives and showing them hospitality is deeply and firmly rooted in that's exactly what God has done for us. That he has invited us as strangers back into relationship with him. And this is not a new scriptural mandate that we find here in Hebrews chapter 13. Really, this is a scriptural mandate that we find throughout all of Scripture. A good example of this is in Leviticus 19:34. It says, "You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." And so we have, you know, even in the Old Testament, this idea that we, as followers of God, are supposed to reach out to strangers, to invite them into our lives, and to love them. And so we know, I mean, this is really, as Christians, we know this. We know how we're supposed to behave. But really, as Christians, so often we know what we're supposed to do, but then actually doing it is a completely different story. Whether it's distraction or life or not knowing exactly how to enact it out. But we don't always do what we know that we're supposed to do. And so we're told, you know, our whole lives really to be wary of strangers. We teach our children, you know, not to take candy from strangers. And I remember as a kid, you know, on Halloween having to have my candy inspected. To make sure that a stranger hadn't tampered with my candy. You know, that we teach our children, you know, what to do if a stranger comes up to them on the street. The run and the fight and flight type things. And we teach, really all of our lives we're taught to avoid strangers. And really by the time that we become adults, it becomes really awkward to interact with strangers. You know, for kids it's easy. This weekend, my family and I, we traveled to the Omaha Zoo, had a little bit of a fun weekend away. And on the way there, we stopped so that Salisa could feed Everett. We stopped at this random park. And within, you know, a couple of minutes, Emerson had made a brand new friend. They were playing on this merry-go-round, you know, talking up a storm. And I was thinking, man, I can't think of the last time something like that happened to me. You know, if I was to go up to somebody, you know, in like Walmart and something and be like, hey, do you want to be my friend? You know, I might be escorted out. It just doesn't work that way. You know, and a stranger for the purpose of our discussion today is really anyone who seems strange to you. And maybe for some of us, maybe all that's everyone. So often, everybody else just seems weird. But you know, it could be somebody from a different nation of origin, somebody of a different ethnicity or race, somebody with a different socioeconomic or educational status. Maybe it's somebody with different political views or a different faith or religion. But really, I mean, it could be your spouse. My wife looks at me like I'm a stranger every day. She is often trying to figure out what in the world I am doing and why I am doing it, and is not shy about saying that I'm weird. And so really, I mean, this idea of this being a stranger, it's a vast category. It's a broad category. If we think about how different we are from one another, you know, really from the simplest things to huge things, that really, if we want to be nitpicky about it, every single person could be a stranger. Because in some way, they're different than us. And, you know, it's interacting with strangers, and the more estranged they are from you, the more awkward that it is. It's weird. It's like the Walmart thing, that you can't just walk up to somebody and ask them to be your friend. It's engaging in conversations with somebody that is different than you, especially spur of the moment or suddenly, is weird. It's awkward. And so this biblical mandate for us to love strangers, to invite strangers into our lives, is hard. You know, it's hard because it's weird. It's hard because, you know, we're busy. Henry Nouwen writes this: hospitality means primarily the creation of free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend instead of an enemy. Hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them space where change can take place. It's not to bring men and women over to our side, but to offer freedom, not disturbed by dividing lines. And so this idea of loving strangers really is, I mean, it's in many ways, it's going to be weird. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be strange. And so how do we go about following the biblical mandate of entertaining and showing hospitality to strangers? And I would say one of the first steps that we can take is learning to love ourselves. I talked about how that definition of anything that's different from you, sometimes we can even become strangers to ourselves. When we neglect to take care of ourselves or spend time with ourselves or value ourselves, sometimes we can become estranged to really who we are. And so we need to learn to love one another, or to love ourselves. And, you know, this is something that I really had to learn and relearn over and over again. I talked about how my life before Jesus was full of self-hatred. And really, Ben, my friend Ben, helped me to begin to relearn to value myself. And I remember the first time I began thinking about my worth and my value is Ben asked me, he said, "Hey, what do you think you're going to do next?" And I was like, "Well, maybe go get some water." And he's like, no. He's like, "No, man, what are you going to do with your life now that it's not like defined by all that stuff?" He used different words, but what are you going to do, you know, that it's not defined by all the, you know, the drugs and stuff? And I was like, I have no idea. You know, I've just been enjoying sitting here drinking instant coffee. But it got me thinking that my life still had a purpose, that there was going to be a future for me, that there was, that my life had value. And then Ben continued to help me remember that my life had value, because every single time that I would leave, Ben would give me this huge hug. And he would say, "Hey, thanks, man." Every single time. It was this huge hug. And thanks, man. Never anything more than that. Never anything less. And it was so weird when he started hugging me, because I can't remember the last time that I had hugged somebody before Ben hugged me. I didn't want people to touch me. I didn't want people to be in my life. And it was probably pretty easy for Ben. I mean, he was this hippie kid. He loved everybody. He hugged everybody. He was known for hugging people. But he hugged me, and he said, "Hey, thanks, man." I was like, "Thanks for what? You know, we just sat here, dude." And he we never expanded upon it. But, you know, I think Ben was just simply thankful for my presence, that I was there when he desperately needed somebody in his life. You know, when we stepped away from the only community that we had known, the community of drugs, really, we found that it was so lonely. You know, the only community that we found that those people no longer wanted to have anything to do with us. If we weren't going to engage in what they were engaging in, they didn't want to talk to us, they didn't want to see us, they didn't want to bring them down. And so Ben, he would often talk about that, you know, "I'm doing okay with the physics stuff. Really, I'm going crazy. But the hardest part is how lonely that I feel." And so Ben thanking me reminded me that my presence is valuable. And valuing someone's presence goes a long way to speaking to their self-worth and making them believe that they are special, helping them to like themselves. You know, it was a long process for me to really learn to love myself. For often, a lot of us struggle with this idea of self-worth, of self-value. You know, all of us have our down days, but for some of us, it's far much more than that. But this needs to be one of our first steps in loving strangers. And if you are having a hard time liking you, then you need to figure out how to begin to like you. And sometimes that means that you need to ask for help. You need to learn to like you. You know, I'm not a mental health professional. I've been to several, and I'm thankful for them in my life. But I'm not one. So, but do whatever it takes to find a place in your life where you like you, where you remember that God created you unique and special, that God created you exactly how you're supposed to be, that God loved you. So whether that's through prayer or exercise or a mental health professional, do whatever it takes to get to a place where you can say, "I like me. And I believe that God loves me." Do whatever it takes. And the next step is learning how to show hospitality to angels. Doesn't that sound so weird? You know, this passage, it says, "Don't hesitate to offer hospitality to strangers, thereby entertaining angels unaware." And this idea for us of entertaining angels seems kind of silly. It seems like I don't know, one of those hour-long TV specials that we click by on the TV, and we don't talk about angels that much. Of course we believe in angels. I mean, they're in the Bible. The Bible speaks of angels as being messengers of God, but we don't talk about them that much. But really, this passage wouldn't have seemed so strange to the Israelite people. And it stems back to Genesis 18, where Abraham is in his tent, and he sees three strangers in the distance, and he runs to make preparations for them. He has his wife bake bread, and he entertains these three strangers in his tent, only to find out that they are angels, and that one of them is the angel of the Lord, or very literally, God himself. That Abraham has the opportunity to entertain angels and God. And Abraham, you know, he's the patriarch of the Jewish faith. And so this story is deeply rooted in their religion, in their culture, and their daily practice in life. In fact, ancient Israelites believed that God would send angels to test their hospitality, to test them on whether or not their hospitality was good enough. You know, and I'm not sure about the theology behind that. I don't know if God actually sends angels to test our theology. But what I do believe is this, is that when we show hospitality to strangers, we offer up opportunities for angels or messengers of God to reveal truth to us. So they may not actually be angelic angels, but they are messengers of God. And so as we seek to offer hospitality to strangers, to invite them into our lives, we need to begin to see them as angels, or begin to see them as messengers from God. If each and every human being is created in the image of God, then something within that person reveals the nature of God. And each person has the opportunity to teach us something. And strangers really have far more opportunity to teach us things, really, than people who are just like us. If we only spend people who are just like us, who know the same things that we know, then we're really going to never learn anything. We have to step out of our boats, step out of our comfort zones, interact with strangers, because really it's in the strangeness that we can begin to learn. You know, Ben taught me all different kind of things. We didn't know each other at all. We just started hanging out with each other. And you know, Ben taught me how to make instant coffee taste good. His secret was honey and you know, heavy whipping cream. It tasted good. You know, he taught me about picking blackberries and how to pick the right ones, how to pick them, you know, at 2 a.m. and avoid bugs. He taught me what it meant to be a friend. He taught me what it meant to begin to love myself again. He taught me so many different things. And so this idea of learning from strangers needs to become something that becomes deeply rooted in part of our lives. You know, for the ancient Israelites, they became really good at this. They would invite strangers into their home, sometimes for days. They would provide them with shelter, with food, with entertainment. It became almost these productions. You know, think about, my family really never did this, but I've heard of other families doing like family talent shows where they share their gifts and talents with each other on a special night of the week. Maybe your family does that. I don't know. But I've seen it in movies. But really, that's kind of what the Israelites would do. Is they would entertain their guests. I mean, it was like they were hosting celebrities. And the whole community could see this because of the nature and structure of their lifestyle and the way that they experienced life together. And so you knew when your neighbors were entertaining strangers. It was visible. It was evident. And really, when we begin spending our lives with people who are strange to us, people notice. People pay attention. They see who we are spending our time with. And I experienced this a lot in my life. And a lot of times it was my mom saying things like, are you sure you want to be hanging out with that person? Because I've kind of heard some things about that person. And my mom was pretty valid in my teenage years to say those things. But I remember in college, she would continue to say that. And I'd be like, Mom, I have a plan. It's going to be okay. And really, we need to not be worried about what the world is going to say. It's okay to hang out with people that aren't like us. Jesus did it all the time. Jesus is God, perfect, sinless God. He hung out with prostitutes and tax collectors, murderers and thieves. The religious elite talked about how he was this estranged son because of the people that he hung out with. And if those people were good enough for Jesus, they should be good enough for us. And really, the strangers in our life don't have to be so strange. You know, start small. You know, start with somebody just maybe a little bit different than you. Finding ways to engage in life with them. And that leads us to our last step. And really, I'll be the first to admit this, that this idea of inviting strangers into our lives is not necessarily something that's going to happen every day. And it's not something that can really happen overnight. It would be great if it could. It'd be great if you could walk into Walmart, invite somebody to be your friend, and have that be successful. If you can do that, please teach me. Because I can't do it without being weird. I can't spend time with my friends without being weird. I'm just awkward. But that's okay. It's okay to be awkward because really, moving beyond strangers involves the freedom to be strange. We're all weird in some way. And really, if the person sitting across from you or next to you, if you think that they are strange, chances are that they think that you're even stranger, right? We've all heard that. And so this idea that we need to begin to create our lives to invite strangers to feel freedom to be who they are, to be loved, and to feel safe in the environment that we create for them. And so it's not something that happens every day. It's not something that happens overnight. It's a process. It takes time and involves a whole lifestyle commitment. And so it can begin by learning to receive hospitality ourselves, this learning this lifestyle of showing hospitality to strangers. You know, I talked about that we need to first begin to love ourselves. And in the same way, we ourselves need to learn how to receive hospitality. By receiving hospitality, it can teach us how to show hospitality. And oftentimes, receiving hospitality is hard. We don't want to allow people to do things for us sometimes. I don't know exactly why that is. It's something maybe with our pride or feeling like we're being polite. No, that's okay. And it's really something that Salisa and I have really had to learn how to do to receive hospitality. It's something that we are learning right now as we're new in this community. We're learning how to receive your hospitality. And many of you all are showing us what hospitality looks like. It's a very humbling process at times. But it's something that we all need to learn how to do. And the next step is creating spaces in your life that are safe and welcoming to strangers. You know, in churches, we do things like background checks or making sure that the doors are locked or all different kinds of things to help families know that they are safe when they come to this church. We do things to welcome people, like there's welcome packets. There's a committee here at this church that their job is to find ways to make people feel welcome. We spend the time at the beginning of church welcoming one another, shaking hands with one another, greeting one another. This idea of finding ways to make people feel safe and welcome. And we can do that in our homes. We can do that in our lives, outside of our home, wherever we are, is creating space to make people feel safe. And there's, you know, all kinds of ways to do this. But I think one of the easiest ways to begin to make people feel safe is to simply smile. I am as guilty of this as anyone else, that when I am out, you know, running errands or whatever, like I am, you know, I'm going. And I get focused. Like people, you know, wave to me as I'm driving or say hello to me at, you know, Walmart. And sometimes I just keep on walking because I'm so focused on me and where I'm going. But that's not really very welcoming. It doesn't make people feel safe to be with me. And so sometimes this idea of creating safe and welcoming environments can be something as simple as just slowing down and smiling. Next, we do things like sit, talk, and listen. You know, with my friend Ben, that's we didn't even talk sometimes. But this idea of just sitting, talking, and listening can go so far into our ministry with strangers. And the idea of strangers is somebody who's different than you. And so chances are their opinions, their values, their beliefs could be very different than yours. And one of oftentimes our natural response when we hear values and beliefs that are different than ours is to begin to debate. To debate the differences. And, you know, but we want to not make it seem like we're on the same page as them. It's okay to be a stranger. It's okay for them to know that we don't believe exactly the same way that they believe. But we simply need to listen sometimes and not be looking to figure out, well, how am I going to refute that? How am I going to debate this? Just listen. Just talk. You can talk about the differences. You can talk about what you believe, but don't make it a fight. Don't make it, you know, this place where you suddenly don't feel welcome anymore. You know, we can have conversations about differences without ever getting angry. It's possible. And as we sit and we talk and we listen, especially as we listen, it reminds people of their value. It reminds people that they are valued, that they are valued by us, that we can value, that they can be valued by God, that we need to love one another in our strangeness, that it's okay to be strange, that it's okay not to be like one another. God is a God who loves diversity. He created each and every one of us special and unique. He created each and every one of us exactly how we're supposed to be. He created us different. God was very intentional about our differences, because it helps us to understand the vastness of God. One person could never contain all of who God is. Really, all of creation cannot contain all of who and what God is. But as we begin to look around at the differences of people, how different people look different, think different, believe different, like things differently, it helps us to understand how big and vast that God is. So love one another in our strangeness and the freedom that we can kind of take off that protective barrier and that we can just be, that we can relax and be present in each other's presence. And then we can't forget what we talked about last week, the connecting hospitality, or 2 weeks ago, connecting hospitality with mission. That, you know, we can just sit there, talk, and listen, that we don't have to debate and argue, but we can't forget why we're doing it. That we can't forget that we're seeking out relationships with strangers because ultimately we want that stranger to become a friend and we want that stranger to become a friend of Jesus. So we can't forget to include or connect hospitality with mission. I'll remind you of this quote from Rosaria Butterfield. And she says, "Radical ordinary hospitality is using your Christian home as a daily means of turning strangers into neighbors and neighbors into the family of God." Turning strangers into neighbors and neighbors into the family of God. Connecting hospitality with the mission. Learning to love strangers. It's hard. It is really hard to love strangers. It's really hard to love people who aren't like us. It's really uncomfortable. It's awkward. It's weird. But it's okay. It's okay to embrace the awkwardness, the weirdness, to know that God has called us out into doing this, that we need to step out of our comfort zone. And I think that as we experience this, as we try this, as we move out into the world of embracing strangers, that we will find that it's really not so strange after all. That we have much to learn, much to experience, and that we will be able to better and fully understand and appreciate the love of God as we learn to love those who are strange to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being a good and a loving God. We thank you for being a God who gives us challenging things to do because we know that in the end that there will be reward. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would not let us forget the time when we are strangers from you and how thankful that we should be because of your willingness to step into our lives, to reconnect with us, and to invite us back into family, into relationship with you. We pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.